of God. Everybody right now, just to take a minute and just think about the faithfulness that God has had in your lives. We might be going through many issues, but God is always faithful. So I just pray right now, we enjoy the presence that you are here, Lord, right now. So we just love the presence of God as you come in, Lord, and we worship you this morning. And I just rest upon us right now with your glory, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, so much for your presence. I just ask right now that the presence would continue to increase in this place, even through the sermon, Lord, that your presence would be so strong, Lord, that you would affect us, that we would be transformed in this service, Lord, and we would go out, Lord, and do what you've called us to go do. In Jesus' name. You know, this year, Pastor Brad has received another number from the Lord, and that's 100 souls for this church. So we're going to pray for that. That just does not happen with us doing things with our hands and motivating people. That's not going to do it. It's going to take us through the Holy Spirit to be able to go out to the world in our community. So I just want us to do right now is to do... We're going to pray, and I want you to put your hands on your heart. And I just want to ask the Lord right now, Lord, I just pray for every hand on the heart, Lord, that you, Lord, would just break our hearts for the lost, Lord. I just pray, Lord, you came and died on the cross. You gave everything, Lord. And people are going to go to hell, Lord, if we, in this plan of salvation, Lord, is not spoken to them. So I pray, Lord, that you would break our hearts for the people, Lord, that need you so much, Lord. And I just go ahead and put your hands on your eyes, lightly on your eyes. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to see what you see, Lord. I pray that you open our eyes and take the scales off of our eyes, Lord, and be able to see who, Lord, that you want us to go. And I just put your hand on your ears right now, and I just pray that you would just open our ears so we could hear who. We can go out and talk to masses of people, Lord, but you, we could spin our wheels many times and get discouraged. But I'm asking you right now that you would speak to us and go and speak to that person, Lord, that you have chosen, Lord, and that the Holy Spirit has been working on already in front of us, Lord, and that you would give us the words to speak, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray that this army here at Seaport, Lord, the church, Lord, that would rise up this year, Lord, that we would see, it would be like a mighty train going down the tracks, that we would even see the momentum of this and see this goal even met by the summer, Lord, and that we would far exceed this goal going into December. I pray, Lord, that you would just help mobilize this mighty army you have here. Get us up, Lord, and be able to move and do what you called us to go do. And we just give you thanks right now, Lord. We give you the glory for what you are going to do in this church, Lord. You raise this church up, Lord. You bring righteousness into each and every one of us, Lord. Righteous living, holy living, Lord, that people can see the difference in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen to that. You may go ahead and be seated. So just as an encouragement, so I just received in the hallway a beautiful Valentine from my friend Rebecca. So let a child be an example to you, as Ed was just praying for us. As you think of somebody, call them, send them a letter. You don't know how that can make a difference in their life and what door that will open for being able to share the gospel with them. So thank you, Rebecca, for that. So good morning. It is missions highlight time. If you're new to Seaport, we support 35 missionaries. On Wednesday evenings, we share about those missionaries and we receive an offering that goes into our missions fund to help with their monthly support and special missions projects. This past year or so, you guys have been so faithful with your missions giving. This morning, I am able to announce several really awesome updates. First, Seaport was able to bring on missionaries Mike and Polly Brown for monthly support. Mike visited with us a few Wednesday evenings ago. They are missionaries to Bolivia, and their ministries include ministry to the deaf and to children and their families in impoverished communities through Child Hope. We also were able to increase two of our missionaries' monthly support, making our total monthly missions commitments $2,223. Lastly, we were able to give $1,600 to four different missionaries' cash budgets, which helps them with special projects, their living expenses, and to help keep them on the missions field. Hooray! One such missions project went to help Becky Nichols, who ministers in Romania with a program called Touched Romania. The donation is going to allow her to continue to work in Hagar House, which is a maternal center providing an alternative to child abandonment and the opportunity to build a better future for at-risk mothers and their children, transforming lives and restoring hope. If you want to hear more, I encourage you to come on out to our Wednesday services or hop online to hear all the specifics of the other areas that we were able to give to. So once again, thank you for investing in missions and helping to spread the gospel around the world. Amen.
Amen. All right. Hello, Seaport. We're going to go ahead and receive our tithes and be able to give our tithes and offerings today. So as we are receiving, if the ushers want to come forward, as Pastor Brad asked me to do, Oh, no ushers come forward. Never mind. I apologize. There we go. My brain is pre-COVID, BC. So if you, as Pastor Brad asked me to do, tithes and offerings, God kind of put a scripture on my heart, 2 Corinthians 9:7, which says in the ESV, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so I know a lot of us, in the pressures that we're under right now, we have this, kind of tendency to be like, nope, I want to just hold as much as I can because I'm not sure about the future. I'm not sure about my next move. I'm not sure about what's coming. But I'm telling you right now, I've experienced it personally. Being able to make the sacrifices, making the first sacrifice that God's looking for and where your heart position, we've been talking all about and godly prosperity, this heart positioning, being able to give that sacrifice and make that sacrifice, God blesses it tenfold. So he loves when we want to give. He loves when we are generous with what he gives us. Amen? So we're going to, if you want to, if you need to know how to give, you can either use any of the methods on the screen. You can go to the Narthex and give there. But we're going to pray over the offering. Father, as we receive your tithes and offerings, Father, as we receive the gifts that you've given all of your children, Father, and we're giving it back to you, Father. I pray that you would do two things. One, that you would, Lord, you would use these finances for your kingdom, first and foremost, Father, that you would be able to expand your kingdom and express yourself through your kingdom, Father, through these finances. And Lord, I also pray that you love a cheerful giver, Father. And so as we cheerfully give, as we make these sacrifices, Father, for you, Lord, I pray that you would just bless it tenfold, Lord. We thank you for what you're going to do through this money. We thank you for what you're going to do through these acts of sacrifice, Father, and through your children and through your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, we're going to take a look at some of the opportunities while you guys are clicking on your phones. So first, on February 4th is a ladies' craft night. Y'all, confession, I am not crafty. I know some of y'all are, so you're going to have to craft for me, okay? I'm also not a woman, so, you know, you gotta do it for me. Activate. Come to Activate. Please come to Activate. It is such a powerful time. It will open up your eyes, open up your ears to how God has wired you and how God has given gifts in your heart and in your soul for his kingdom, and will really kind of enlighten how you are designed to fit into the body of the church, and not only of the church, but of his kingdom. So come to Activate February 21st. And then Wednesday night, we're going through episode 11 of Drive Through History. It is on Ephesus. We've been talking a lot about the armor of God, and we will talk a lot about the armor of God. And we're going to be able to take a look on that on Wednesday night. So before I turn it over to Pastor Brad, who's going to come bring us the word this morning, I just want to take a moment and welcome all of the visitors. I'm excited that you're here. Yeah, go ahead and cheer for our visitors. Whether you're tuning in online, you're visiting for the first time, you're here in service and you're visiting for the first time, go ahead and text welcome to the number on the screen. You're going to get a little link that's sent back to you. You just fill out a little bit of information, because we believe, truly we believe, that it's not here by accident, that you're here for a reason, that God has ordained it for a purpose, and we want to be able to meet you and connect with you and see what that purpose is. So in the meantime, Pastor Brad is coming. He's going to bring the word of God this morning. So are y'all ready for the word? Come on. Hallelujah.
Thanks, James. Thank you. A couple of quick things, just so you know. Thanks. Yeah, move that back. I'll ram right into it. Thanks. I did something to my back this week. I don't know what exactly, so I'm very stiff. And so if I look like I'm moving like an old guy, partly because I am, and partly because my back is really in rough shape here. But I'm here, and a special thanks. The guys got around me. People have been praying for me. Thank you for doing that. And I had Adam and a whole team, they were just kind of running parallel in case I couldn't do this. Adam had his message for next week already, was at practice, and he was ready to go in case I needed him. So thanks for doing that, Adam. I appreciate that a lot. I don't know what I did to my back. It's not a chronic issue like my wife deals with. But so in a moment, I'm going to ask you to pray for me. I wouldn't be here today except that the Lord spoke to me and told me he would give me strength to preach. Okay? So believe me, I didn't want to get out of bed and come here, but the Lord told me he would give me strength to do this. That's not being heroic, that's just doing the will of God, okay? Please understand that. So in a moment we'll pray, but I wanted to tell you about something else. I've got something like amazingly exciting to tell you at the end of the service, and we'll get to that. But so here's a brand new update, too. How many of you have Seaport's Church Center app loaded on your smartphone? How many of you? Okay, great, great, awesome. Just today, we've been testing this out. Robert just told me he's got this thing to work. You can now go right to the app, and you can, it says media, and you can press on that, and then you can press Seaport Live, and you'll be watching the service right there through the church app. Okay, so you can just go right that way. It's a big new improvement on our church app. For all the reasons that you know about, we're losing confidence in some of the major platforms, and so we're doing workarounds. Okay, because we're losing our confidence in where they're going. So okay, so what? Do it. I'm standing. Can you stand and just pray for me that God will give me? Because I know God wants you to hear this message this morning. Otherwise, I would have just said, Adam, go for it. But so Lord, I'm here to do your will. And you're going to give me grace and strength. You always have. And I believe, Lord, that help us to have ears to hear. And may I have strength to share what you put in my heart this morning. So I commit this to you. Be glorified in it. Thanks, Father. Trust you. Amen? Amen. Be seated, please. I've had seasons in my life where it just didn't matter what I seemed to do. Money just seemed to leave me. And I've had seasons in my life where no matter what I seem to do, money just came to me. Have you ever had those kinds of seasons where it just seemed like there was always a new bill? It was like, my gosh, I've been in a season where just inexplicably money came. Have you experienced that? How many of you have experienced that? Okay. Well, you know, where we're going today very simply is this, is that I believe that you can live in, maybe, and certainly not all the time, but you can be in a season, in a time where money comes to you. And that's what we're going to talk about today, right from the scripture. Now, the guys have done a great job. We kicked this series off. I kicked it off with some basic understanding of prosperity a few weeks ago, and then James came and gave us an understanding of but the heart. It's so important that we control the heart. Chris challenged us last week about, you know, the purposes of money, to take care of our needs, to bless the poor, and to, you know, and then to do outreach. And I don't know. If I will, as long as I live, I will not forget that closing video from Schindler's List. If we would sacrifice to win just one more. That's been in my heart all week, saying, Lord, what can I do to reach one more? And I think that the Lord has answered that in a dramatic fashion that I'll tell you about. So, what does the Bible say to us about money coming to us? Now, Solomon was very clear in the book of Proverbs. He said, don't wear yourself out to get rich, because money, you know, just cast a glance at it, it will sprout wings and fly away. And some of you have had that experience where money just flew away, you know? So don't spend all your time and effort. But my question is simply this. What is it? What does the Bible say is necessary for money to come to us, for prosperity, for blessing to come to us? Now, it's not about earning it or meriting it or anything like that. It's the grace of God to us, obviously. But the scripture is very clear. And again, Proverbs, I love the book of Proverbs. I try to read one chapter in it every single day of my life. He says, the trustworthy person will get a rich reward. Look at this. But a person who wants quick riches will get into trouble. Well, that's the truth, isn't it? So here's the first thing I want to tell you. If you want money, if you want blessing, if you want prosperity to come to you, you have to be a trustworthy person. It says that very clearly and all throughout the scripture. I mean, you've got to be a faithful, dependable person. You've got to mean what you say and say what you mean. You've got to be dependable. You when you say that you're going to do something, you do it. You know? I mean, you've got to manage what God has given to you now. Why would God bless you with more if you can't manage what he's given to you now? If you don't take care of what he's given to you now, why would he bless you with more? Makes no sense. Makes no sense. God is a careful steward and manager. I mean, do you honor your commitments when they're difficult? Are you faithful, dependable, trustworthy? Are you doing your best for the Lord now? Because it's the trustworthy person that receives a rich reward, you know? It carries the idea that if you're faithful in handling others' property, that God will give you, the scripture says, he will give you your own. Do you know how that you treat the property, whether it belongs to the United States Navy, whether it belongs to your employer, Pfizer, Electric Boat, or whatever your employer is? How you treat that sends a signal to God as to how he's going to bless you. And notice something else in Luke 16. This is what it says. God says this. Interesting. He says that if you can be trusted with material things, he'll entrust you with spiritual riches. If God cannot trust you with physical things, why would he want to entrust things of much greater value, spiritual blessings and gifts and resources and insights? See how it ties together there? How are we doing with that? The first church that Debbie and I served in was actually in this town. And back, and I can't hardly believe this, we started in the fall of 1978. Can't believe it. 42 years ago. I was the assistant pastor and the youth pastor in this Assemblies of God church. And the church ran into severe financial problems, and I could see why the pastor was not trustworthy. But that rolled down onto us. We were on vacation, and it was this time of the year, and while on vacation, they decided that they would cut our pay by 85%. Happy vacation. I said, well, the Lord must want us to leave, but he said, no, you're to stay. So we stayed. Difficult? You're not kidding. I won't go into all of what happened. It was early in the year, like it is now. But I will tell you this. The Lord said, no, you're to stay and fight it out. And I said, okay, I'll fight it out. So we were there for several months. Big, long story. But I will simply say this. Then in December of that year, that same year, God promoted me, and I was making three times what I began that year with. Three times. Because I was trustworthy. He blessed me. Again, I want you to see how that this lives out in real life. It was amazing. And not only was that, you've heard me tell this many times, not only did I move from overseeing a youth group in a church, about 20 kids. God said to me, no, we're going to promote you. And now suddenly I was overseeing the youth programs in 150 churches across Connecticut, Rhode Island, and Massachusetts. That's a promotion. And the pay that went with it. If you prove yourself trustworthy and diligent, even in small things, it seemed like nothing. A small group of kids in a basement in a church in Groton, suddenly God elevates you. There's a second scenario that I want to move to from the book of Philippians, one of my favorite New Testament books, and I speak to you frequently from it. Paul's writing this thank you letter. He's in jail and he's in house arrest in Rome, awaiting trial. The church in Philippi that he had started 10 years previously writes him a thank you note, and he writes them a thank you note. They had supported him and helped him. They had walked with him and encouraged him, prayed for him. And so now he is sending their emissary back to them, and he writes a thank you note that we call Philippians. How I praise the Lord that you're concerned about me again. I know you've always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Now, whatever, not that I was ever in need, because I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's a full stomach or an empty, with plenty or with little. Seasons. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. You know, one of the reasons why that this church has a strong missions emphasis is because the church of Philippi was a missions-minded church, and they took care of their missionary, and God gave them the promise. You want to be blessed? Be concerned about missions. I saw that figure come up there, $2,223, and I said, Lord, I want to make it $20,000. I know churches that do. $20,000 a month. I know churches that give $50,000 a month. I know some of you, your brains just couldn't process what I just said to you. Hang on. If you couldn't process that, you're not going to process what I'm about to tell you. If you want the Lord to prosper you, you have to do, and you heard this a few weeks ago, you have to learn how to be content with where you're at right now. A person that has learned to be content like Paul finds money and blessing coming to them, just like Paul said. He said, you guys just were very concerned about me. You blessed me. You send me this help and this finances, and you've blessed me. Look at that. God blesses the content person. Why? Because their heart, as James says, belongs to him. And God knows that when he blesses them with stuff, he won't lose their heart because their heart belongs to him and not to stuff. Heart just doesn't belong to stuff. They're not consumed with possessions and the fake promises of the world. That the world promises, hey, if you have all this stuff, you'll have significance, you'll have meaning, you'll have security, which is gone in a moment. But if your heart belongs to the Lord, that's when you have security and significance. Then that's when you're happy and fulfilled. Adam and Eve had everything, didn't they? It was when they got a little discontent and got focused on the wrong thing that trouble came into their lives and into ours. See, a content person looks around and goes, this may not be my dream house. It may not be my dream car. It may not be my dream job. May not be my dream. But Lord, thank you so much for it. Thank you. Thank you for this house. Thank you for this car. Thank you for this job. And if it never changes, it's okay. I hope that it will. But if it doesn't, I'm content. One of the most powerful secrets of prosperity I can tell you is that one. When you get there, it's amazing. I was just slugging it out for Jesus in the basement of an AG church here in town. Debbie and I just faithfully doing what God called us to do. It was hard. So one day, just bumped into, in a meeting, bumped into the district superintendent, the big dog, man. Like bumping into the admiral, so to speak. We just had a quick exchange. Next thing I know, he's calling me. He says, I want you to come see me. Like, oh, boy. It's like the ultimate principal's office. And of course, that would lead to the promotion that would come in the months after that. That was April, March of April. It would come in December of that year. We were content just doing what God wanted us to do. Almost every day, driving to the church, I would drive by what is now Shoreline Appliances. Back in the day, it was Mike's famous Harley-Davidson. Almost every day, I would drive by that, and the Lord would say this to me. He'd say, you're going to have a Harley-Davidson. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. That's great. You're going to have one before you planned on it. What? Every day, let's go on. And I would dismiss it. So it doesn't really matter. Really, Lord, that'd be great, but right now Lindsay's in college, and the only thing that matters is getting her through college. And, you know, a friend of mine said to me, that he said, hey, he said, you got a Harley? I said, no, I have a Lindsay. And he go, what is that? All out of the blue one day, a friend of mine calls me from Rhode Island. He goes, hey, I'm getting rid of my bike, and I've thought of you, and I'd like you to come take a look at it. I said, dude, I ain't buying no motorcycle. Well, let's just come take a look. My wife said, go take a look. So we drive to Rhode Island. It's beautiful Harley-Davidson Deuce. Beautiful. And I said, that's great. That's great. I said, I ain't buying this thing. We drove home. Guy called me a couple of days later and goes, hey, you know, what do you think? I said, dude, I got no money. I can't buy this motorcycle. He goes, well, what if I threw this in? I said, I don't care what you throw in. I'm not buying this motorcycle because I don't have any money. So a few days later, he calls me up again. He goes, hey, you know, very strong Christian. He said, well, I'll throw this in if you want to buy it. I think I should do it. I'll throw this in. I said, like, what don't you get? I don't have money. So like on the third phone call, he says, okay, I'll do this, 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 and this. And I said, it don't matter. Do you not get this? You know, it does not matter. And so I said, well, I'll just pray about it. And I sat down, I prayed about it, and the Lord said to me, buy it, I'll help you pay for it. I'm like, what? That's stupid. I'll do it, okay, whatever. Whatever. I'm probably the only guy I know that didn't want to buy a Harley that bought one. Long story short, some of you heard the story again. Again, I was just content. And one day I said, Lord, I'm kind of ticked off with you. And I said, Lord, you said you would help me pay for this. As far as I can tell, you really haven't helped me. Lord, you can be honest with God. He ain't going to strike you dead. He already knows you're going to be stupid, so it doesn't, you know. He knows that. So he knew I was going to be stupid. So I was really like, get this. Long story short, get a letter in the mail from the guy. Because I've been praying, and the Lord told me to release you. I was making payments to him. He said, Lord told me to release you from the rest of the money, from the rest of the balance, which was $4,000. Yeah, to be honest with you, my reaction was to fall on the floor of my office and repent. I literally did. God, you're faithful. I'm dumb, but you're faithful. Are you ready for the next step? And James has already referred to this. James took us into the church of Corinth. That's where we're going to go. And, you know, if you were here in Drive Through History, we talked about and we watched a video on Drive Through on the city of Corinth. We studied it Wednesday night. Now, the church at Corinth had decided that they would be part of the campaign that Paul was running. He was running a fundraising campaign. He was collecting money that he was going to give to Christians in Jerusalem that were very poor, been hit by a famine, and things were very difficult. So his thought was, all these people in Jerusalem, these initial Christians, had blessed the wider church around the Mediterranean, so these churches should in turn bless them. It was a great concept, and so they had logged on. They said, yeah, we're going to help with this offering. And now it had been some time, and they really hadn't followed through. And so Paul is, one of the reasons he writes to them is to encourage them to be faithful with their commitments. And he writes this to them. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person, you heard James read this one, a person who gives cheerfully. And God will give generously. He will provide all that you need, when you will always have everything that you need and plenty left over to share with others. You heard that last week, didn't you? As the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. We want to talk about legacy. There's legacy. You know? For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. And you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And then when we take your gift to those who need them, that's what Paul's talking about, the offering he's going to take to Jerusalem, they will thank God. He even says this, he infers this, is that they will thank God for you and pray for you. Interesting. There's been many a times when you have blessed this church or blessed me, I've thanked God and then I've prayed blessing upon you. Don't misunderstand what I'm about to tell you. Do not misunderstand this. Okay? Many times when you bless people, you bless me, I pray God returns it to you 2, 3, 10 times. Do not misunderstand me. I am not looking for any money. I don't need any. And that's what Paul was saying there. You want to be blessed. You got to be generous. Now, let me back up and just say this to you. So, a special guest has been here many, many times. Ken Gobb recently lost his wife of 66 years. I called him, and I've never heard Ken in all my years of knowing him as a friend, being in his house, staying in his house, and having him here and spending a lot of time with him. I've never heard the brokenness I heard. He talked about the great financial difficulties that he was in and didn't anticipate, and so I said, well, it's time. And the board recently decided that we took, $700 or $750, I'm not sure which it was, And we sent it to Ken from this church just to simply say, we bless you and we thank you. We couldn't help you when you were here. There was many times I couldn't give him what I wanted to give him. We just didn't have it. But I said, we have it now, and I'm going to give it to you. That's why. Some of you have been especially generous to benevolence. That's where some of your money has gone. And I have more to tell you. I got more to tell you. Hang on. You want to be blessed, you got to be generous. You expect God is going to bless your life when you're cheap, tight, stingy? You can forget it. Forget it. You think God is going to bless you when you're not generous, when you don't honor missions, you don't tithe. Just quit deceiving yourself. Be generous. R.G. Letourneau is a guy whose life story I love to tell. He really wasn't much of anything, really, and in a lot of ways. Wasn't anything unusual about the guy. But his missionary sister challenged him to really solidify his commitment and really get serious with God. And so he did. He did. He went to a revival meeting of some sort and thought that, you know, he really needed to make his commitment. But he thought, you know, he was a little hesitant because he couldn't see himself being as a missionary or a pastor or an evangelist or anything like that. That really was not his calling. And so after this revival meeting and he solidified his commitment to the Lord, he sat down with his pastor and he said, I just need some guidance. I don't know what I'm supposed to do now. And his pastor, who was a very wise individual, said, you know what? It's great that you want to step out, but, you know, God, you know, I mean, maybe God isn't calling you to do that. Maybe God's calling you to be a businessman. And R.G. Letourneau, after they prayed together, Letourneau said this, all right, if that's what God wants me to do, I'll be his businessman. And he began a partnership with God. He was the minor partner. God was the major partner. And Letourneau would often call himself a sorry business partner. God had a sorry business partner. But Letourneau for nearly 60 years, listen to this, credited his success to his business relationship with God. He believed his success, listen to this, made him a debtor to God and to man. Now, R.G. Letourneau designed and built those things. Huge pieces of equipment, massive, you can see the scale. That's what he designed and built. R.G. Letourneau would often, back in the days before AutoCAD, would sit at a drafting board. I know those drafting boards well. I learned drafting on one. He would sit at those and he'd say, I don't know how to do this. And God would supernaturally give him ideas as how to design and build that equipment. Supernaturally, God would give it to him. Letourneau, in 1919, started his partnership with God. As a result, scores of inventions, 300 patents, thousands of highway miles, plus millions of dollars were given to spiritual enterprises, and Letourneau University was created. R.G. Letourneau, his name is often associated with generous giving. You see, he and his wife, Evelyn, practiced what they called reverse tithing. When God began to bless him, he gave 10% away. The blessing continued, he gave 20% away. The blessing continued, he gave 30% away. The blessing continued, he gave 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90%. And he lived on 10. What I'm about to tell you is probably going to blow your mind. Lord spoke this to me this morning. Nobody's heard it. I went over this part of this message. Millions of dollars. And the Lord said to me, there are people at Seaport Community Church that will give millions of dollars away. I'm like, what? You know who comes to this church? I do not know. He didn't tell me who. What time is it? 10:57. You're sitting, I'm standing. I got back pain, you don't, so I don't feel bad for you. Here's the fourth and final thing I want to share with you. How does money come to us? We prove ourselves trustworthy. Number one, are you? Number two, we learn to be content. And number three, we're generous. Sounds highly complex, doesn't it? Not at all. Here's a fourth and final lesson I want to share with you. God said to Solomon, because your greatest desire is to help your people, and you did not ask for wealth, riches, fame, or even death of your enemies or a long life, but rather, this is the word of the Lord to King Solomon. Basically, as he's starting out, God says to him, what is it that you want? And Solomon replies, but rather you ask for wisdom and knowledge to properly govern my people. I will certainly give you wisdom and knowledge you requested. But I will also give you wealth, riches, and fame such as no king has ever had before you or will ever have in the future. I wonder if that's true. Well, Solomon was worth, in today's dollars, about $2 trillion. Jeff Bezos, George Soros, and all those other sorries, you know. They don't have that kind of money. No, that kind of money. Jesus put it another way when he said this, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. Sounds like provision coming, doesn't it? Do you hear the qualifiers though? Here's the qualifiers, right? Is your first priority advancing the kingdom of God? Is that your first priority, or is that just working when it's convenient for you? Do you seek first the kingdom of God? Do you seek to live righteous? Do you seek to live a life that is right before God and man? Not perfect, but just, you don't make excuses for sin. You don't rationalize your wrongdoing. You don't think God's just going to give you some kind of special pass because you deserve it for some quirky reason. Do you seek to honor God and man with your actions, with your words, with your reactions, with your thoughts? Do you seek to live righteously? When you do that, then God says, okay, I'm going to pour in the rest of it because you're proving yourself capable. 4 years ago, the Lord spoke to me. It was the fall of the year. And he said, when the spring comes, I want you to fix up your house. I said, great, no problem. I can fix my house up. I said, I have no money, but whatever. Fine, whatever. So as the spring began, and the house needed it, it needed a new roof badly. It was just about beginning to leak, and I knew that. The 10-foot bow window in the front of our house had rotted out, and I held it together as long as I could, and it was literally dropping, and the 5-foot panes of glass were snapping. I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do here. Garage door, I'd fixed that several times, and, it got to the point where all of a sudden you hear this bang. One of the springs had let go. So the Lord said to me, I want you to fix up your house in the springtime. I said, okay, fine. I told Debbie what the Lord wanted us to do, and we talked about how we were going to get the money to do all this. And so I figured, well, I'll just borrow money from my retirement or something. Just do that, whatever. Spring came, we started making the plans, and all this is the Lord directed. Didn't think anything about it, really. One day I'm sitting in my office and I get a Facebook message. Hey, Pastor Brad, it's been a long time. I said, yeah, it's been a lot of years, man. Dude. Taking a job in another part of the country. And he said, I've been praying about things this morning. I was thinking about you. And, we have some money we'd like to give it. And I said, oh, okay. And he said, well, how could we do that? I said, well, okay, here's some ways you can do it. You can do it to the church like this and like this. And I just gave him some ideas. And I really didn't think anything about it, really. And so we exchanged some things. We said, well, and then he said, well, okay. I had to leave and go pick up a guest at the airport. So I took off and, you know, again, long story short, I pull into the airport parking lot, TF Green there, get a message from him. He goes, no, we want to give the money to you. I said, well, I said to him, which I always say, just as long as you know that that's what God wants you to do. If God wants you to do it, then you do it. But don't you dare do it unless you know it. To me personally. He goes, yeah, we know this is what God wants us to do. So we're going to send you a check for $10,000. I don't know how he got to my house so fast. It was like 2 days later. It was at my house from across the country. And guess what? Roof, garage door, bow window, all replaced. This works if you'll live it. Did I tell you it would be easy? No, I didn't, did I? Did I tell you that it was just going to be prosperity every time? No, I've been very transparent with you. And the stories I could tell you, I have only begun to tell you. If you are trustworthy, if you learn to be content, if you live generously and seek God, put God first in all things with a righteous life, you will prosper and money will pursue you. I want you to take hold of this scripture verse that God gave to me several months ago now, a couple months ago. I'm on a mission and I want you to embrace this and take hold of it. If you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving to you today, Moses said that, but just hear it as Pastor Brad saying it to you. And if you'll always be careful to obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. He will promote you, and you will always be on top and never at the bottom. That's a potent verse of Scripture, isn't it? And God wants to promote you and bless you. Not for you. You've heard that. But so that you can advance the kingdom. Do you hear me? What's it going to be like? I want you to listen to what I wrote, and then I'm going to show you a video that I got after I wrote this. What's it going to be like when this church is able to step fully into this teaching? Can you imagine the impact on our area and on the world? Faith says to trust God and believe. I want you to see a video, and then I'm going to explain to you what we're seeing. A video I received this yesterday afternoon.
CityServe operates across this country with what we call hubs. Our hubs is really a distribution center serving local churches. Because we believe local churches is the answer. We call churches pods, points of distribution. And in fact, a hub like this, many times it's 10 or 15 or 20 churches coming together, serving the communities. And the footprint across our city is incredible, full of caring people. So right here today, we see people being served from Canyon Hills, but also multiple other churches coming here being resourced. And we're seeing this across Southern California and across the country. A very powerful idea, the churches coming together used to serve the communities. The Farmer to Family USDA program is a food box program that is an answer to this pandemic we have across the country. We have produce that has to be used as restaurants are being closed. So the CARE Act that President passed was to help the farmers to not just waste the produce, help the distribution chains, the truckers across the country to still stay in business. But also we knew the most vulnerable, people losing their job across this country also needed help. So from farmer to family, that program is helping out all of these three areas. We, the local churches, is the last mile. It is the most beautiful idea. As the produce is being assembled, as boxes are being produced, and farmers or distributors, they're being brought into our cities. In CityServe context, we call these hubs. They come into cities, and there we distribute it through local churches that is called the last mile. They bring it from truck to trunk, meaning to the family or to the home or to the most vulnerable. And what you get there is a faith community really caring about people in need. It's the most beautiful idea.
Well, the coordinators of this, I've never met, didn't know anything about, called me yesterday. He asked if Seaport wanted to be one of only two churches in the entire state of Connecticut. To receive a trailer truck, 1,330-pound boxes of food to give away. He said it's worth well over $50,000. I immediately called Ed and Melissa because I know their hearts. Talked to the deacons. Steve got involved, and the three of them met last night, and we're trying to map this thing out because we've got some work that we've got to do. And we're going to have to coordinate with some of the other churches, probably 30, because here's the thing. They don't want to do it one time. They want to do it every single week, possibly all the way into April. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. But do you think we can do it? One church did this. They gave 1,000 boxes away, prayed with people as they were leaving, and led 73 people to Jesus. Generosity. Generosity brings prosperity and blessing in ways you can't imagine. That was yesterday afternoon, all this came down. I want you to stand with me. You're going to be hearing more about it. Ed and Melissa, I don't know. Is there anything you want to come up here quickly and say to us before I get ready to close? We're going to sing Raise a Hallelujah. And whatever we're going to need. It's going to be an all hands on deck kind of a thing. We're going to need you to help us. And some of it won't be glamorous. But these boxes that will be coming in. And we're trying to figure it out. I mean, have we figured out when we're going to start this? They called me, they said, we want to start on Friday. I'm like, this Friday? You know, I'd like to have all the deacons, and I would like to have Ed and Melissa come and stand across the front here. Just come stand right up here. This is unplanned, and we got to close and get out of here. But so we can all, you know, sit in our houses and watch whatever ridiculous, foolish nonsense is on TV. Just stand across here and we'll do the socially distant thing, whatever. I want us to pray right now. I hope you're seeing the connection. That's one of the reasons I felt so strongly, regardless, I had to be here today and tell you about what God is doing. Yep. One of only two churches. The guy said to me, he said, you'll be the first of two churches in Connecticut. You're the lead. You're the head. So, Melissa, you grab the microphone. You and Ed come over to that microphone, and you pray that God gives you, Ed, Steve's jumped in to help you, Steve's online, that you'll have wisdom and the team that comes around you. Now, we'll be in contact because we're going to need you to help us. You're going to help us, right?
Amen.
We cannot. We have no control over. The truck has to come on a Friday. We cannot control that. There's a lot of logistics we're figuring out. That's what I asked these guys to figure out. Pray that we can do this well for the glory of God.
Well, that's it, Lord. You know what's happening, and you've designed this. So we ask for your help. We ask for your wisdom. We ask for your creative ideas. We ask for willing hands, strong backs, Lord. We ask that everything will come together to bring you glory, Lord. And we pray that the people who come, Lord, will see your love, will see your generosity,
and will see Jesus reflected in our eyes, Lord.
We pray that not only will we feed their stomachs, but their souls will be fed as well, Lord.
We pray, Father, for salvations, Lord,
for people to be saved from the pit of hell, Lord, and to come into your glorious kingdom. This is for your glory, Father, not for Seaports. This is for your glory.
And we as a body need
your wisdom. And we thank you for it in advance, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Come on. Let's sing. Raise a hallelujah. Let's do it. Thank you. Woo.
Hallelujah, my weapon is
make a deal with you. You ready for the terms of this deal? We'll sing this song again, but this is what you got to do. As soon as we're done, you got to go quickly, pick up your kids, and thank those who are loving on them. Is that a deal? Okay, that's a deal. Let's sing it. Let's sing it.
Louder than louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes.
Amen. 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 Ed, Melissa, just see me before you go. I need to tell you something. Good. I'm going to pray God's blessing upon all of you. This is what we're going to do in just a moment. I'm going to let those of you that are 65 and above, or, you know, that whole drill that we've been doing, you guys can go first. And then this is different. Those of you that have kids and programs, you're going to follow next. And you're going to go quickly, and you're going to be very grateful. And if you need prayer, there's a prayer, there's a ministry team. They'll come up here and they'll pray with you. You know, you got to wear a mask, you got to be careful, all that good jazz. You know the drill. Can't be hugging on each other and all that fun stuff. So, Lord, I just pray right now in Jesus' name that as we leave this place, help us to put the details together. God, may your hand be upon us. And Lord, thank you for your blessing. And I know it's just the start. We commit everything to you for your great glory's sake. Amen. Amen. Those of you 65 and above, you can slip out. And if you've got an autoimmune issue, feel free. You guys can go first. Now, those of you with children, go quick. Get them. Don't run. And thank all those who worked so diligently this morning to bless you and to bless your kids. They love your kids. They love your kids. Okay, go quickly, those of you with children. Now the rest of you can go. God bless you. Stay tuned. We'll be with you. We'll tell you about what's going on. Okay?
Something like that.